Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is Dukes and Bell. Love our listeners. We love you guys, man, for input and all the things, you know, the interaction. And it's funny when we start talking about this playoff thing and how teams and, you know, Vicky hit us up. She said she was listening to Barbara Dooley, and she was like, tell him, sister, because Barbara was like, I don't understand this. But, you know, so many people have all these varying opinions on what's going to happen and where this is going. All I care about, and I hope this is how you feel, just get in, and then let's go play the games. And that's what you've been saying.
Right.
Just, do we really care? I mean, honestly, this is about your ego tripping right now. Do you really care if Georgia's in the 10th spot? Or the sixth spot.
Well, I will say this, though. I mean, I do, yes. Despite my lack of graduating a number of schools, I do understand that two is more than one, and two losses trumps one. But I will say this. If it comes down to Georgia having to go to Penn State, that's not fair.
No.
That's not right.
No.
Now, if you want to send them to Indiana, enjoy. We'll bring a can of whoop ass. We'll go up 65, and we'll see you there. But, yeah, I just don't like the idea of some nitwits in a committee room with no transparency sending a Georgia team, which is, you know, again, if you can win the game, you can go make – that's not the argument. What's right is the strength of schedule says Georgia should be hosting. That's my only beef.
Okay. But big picture. I mean, what you're saying when you're like, we should be higher, it's your ego. It's a two-loss team right now. Doesn't mean they can't win it all, but that's where we are, and that's fine. Let's just get in and go see what happens. Mm. All right. You said you had some interesting numbers that we were talking about.
Yeah, man. Tonight we got we also mentioned Georgia Tech, and thanks to Garrett Chapman, that what is it, number 4-11, Brent Key, coming off a win?
Yeah, 4-11.
And again, he's had back-to-back winning seasons, back-to-back bowl games. He's over 500, but that's a trend they've got to change tonight against the Wolfpack. The number is 9, by the way. The over-under is, what, 51.5, Chris? It's still pretty high. So they're looking for some points. Real quick, some interesting numbers from the Akron Beacon Journal. Which I just found. No, I was just, you know, sometimes during the commercial breaks, I'll search, and here's what I'd be finding. Listen to these numbers. First off, the temperature, cold, snow falling right now in Cleveland.
Yes, it is.
Now, we're some really crazy numbers. Cleveland, by the way, this is one that blew my mind. The Browns are really good on Thursday nights. They've won their last 8 home games played on Thursday by the lake.
Oh, wow.
Including a pair against the Steelers. The Steelers have lost 4 of their last 5 Thursday night games.
Okay.
Is it the ultimate trap after the Ravens for the Steelers?
Might be.
Yeah, man. The Steelers have lost 4 of the last 5 on Thursday nights. That blew my mind. You're throwing some snow in there. The injury reports are pretty negligible. It's going to be nasty out there. For the Browns, Jedrick Willis, Swaim, obviously, you know, you get Jameis under center. And for the Steelers, Corey Trice, corner, and one of their linebackers, Highsmith, is out with an ankle. But it's also the short week turnaround when everybody's banged up. So do you give the Browns a snowball's chance Cleveland, same difference of winning this game?
I do, only because Jameis is going to push the ball down the field. And sometimes you think, all right, well, they don't have the propensity to make a good play or a big play. The problem is going to be, Mike, you don't get as many shots with that kind of weather. That's right. The problem. So,
what today is?
Jeez.
Actually, it's Thursday.
Yeah. That was Jameis giving a pregame speech last week, which we had a lot of fun with.
One of two.
But I think that's the reason why you might be concerned. And then again, they do still have Nick Chubb, man. They got some guys right. That are can do some damage. The problem is that Pittsburgh defense is – I think this is a grind-them-out kind of game, and because of that, that's why I say I picked the Steelers. But you might be right about this. That's an interesting number.
3.5 is the spread. I mean, I'm desperate for winners. I'm ice cold.
Are you gonna ride this? You're gonna go Browns?
I'm not gonna touch it.
Browns?
No, I'm trying to get
Knack, this, that, paddywhack, give a dog a bone.
Right on, Jameis. That, you know, that knucklehead still got us a national championship.
I know.
Anyway, so yeah, 1-5 in my last two. And I just because last week I looked at the BYU. I said, yeah, Kansas beat Iowa State in the Arrowhead. So what? It's BYU's at home. And Steak told me, that's a trap. Steak was listening to our picks. Same. He goes, He's like, you got to walk it back. No, I stand by it. And this is the ultimate trap game for the Steelers.
You did stand by it.
Yeah, it's truly a trap game. So I am not touching it.
Stakey tried to tell you, too. All right, so you're not on Georgia Tech, correct?
No. If I was going to bet that game, I would bet NC State to lose but cover the 9.
And you're not on the Steelers.
And I'm not touching either one tonight.
Okay.
I've got to do some research, as Thomas Dimitroff would say, but I'm not picking these games.
All right, we give you our...
I'm going to go classic good team, bad team on Friday at the bar.
We give you our official picks coming up tomorrow. All right, we got to get to this because we brought it up earlier, and it does have to do with Georgia. Mike asked me a question earlier about Rashada, who is not played and is not going to play. And the reason why is because Juju Lewis, Carrollton kid, ends up committing to Dane. It's big news, going to Colorado. He was at USC, changed his mind. He's been visiting various schools. He did take an unofficial visit, I think, to Georgia. But you asked me a very interesting question, and let's rehash this for those who missed it.
No, I was saying to Carl, like, I get it. You know, Juju, the kid from Carrollton, Lewis, going to play for Deion Sanders in Colorado, and he is a drop-back passer. He's a pocket passer. He's not like a dual-threat guy. Jaden Rashada is a dual-threat. But this guy is 6'1". But he just throws the ball. And look, we all met Stetson Bennett. Stetson Bennett's like barely 6 feet. So, I mean, it's not like the height thing's a big issue. But why does a kid from Carrollton, who's like considered one of the top quarterbacks in the country, and he's not coming to Georgia? Now, Rusty Manziel was listening. I texted Rusty, who, of course, knows recruiting better than anybody in town. And I said, why wouldn't he come? He goes, well, the quarterback depth. And I said, well, let's be honest. In the transfer portal world we live in, Carl, with NIL, today's 4-deep quarterback room is tomorrow's 2-deep quarterback room.
Absolutely.
Or 1.
Absolutely.
So I'm not saying it's not a factor, but I do think if a kid is that good, why aren't you in on that? You know, and we all knew that Vandergriff or Stockton, somebody was going to leave. Maybe Stockton leaves this year.
Yeah, that's not what you asked me, though.
Why don't we get the big black quarterback stud into Georgia?
That's more of what you asked me, but I'm not sure if it was that stated that way.
Why is DJ Shockley the last black starting quarterback in Georgia?
And here's the deal for me. And I said I want a dynamic quarterback. It doesn't matter where they come from, what they look like, but there is an element to this.
By the way, DeJuan Mathis did start a game, but I think we all remember how that turned out.
It was terrible. And again, he wasn't, you know, the guy that was being recruited nationally by everybody. I think more than anything, I want the dynamic quarterback. And my deal is Georgia has the resources. And I've been getting a lot of stuff today from people say, wait a minute. Well, you know, Kirby's not going to spend like that on guys, or he won't do this or that. Guys, we live in a different world now. College football is a different world. Now, Kirby's winning and Georgia's winning. And it is an interesting place where they are, because I said this when NIL went legal. You can still pick and choose who you want to go to. You don't have to say we need them and we're desperate and we're willing to cut the check or whatever it's going to take to get guys. Georgia's in a really good place. There are a lot of schools who are not. But Georgia has more resources than Colorado, and certainly they are able to do and get whatever kid they want. What my thing is Oren laid out so eloquently, you know, a couple of hours ago, is all these guys have come to Georgia. They've all visited.
Right.
But they're not staying. They're not committing and signing. And that is like, why is my question? It's not just about Lewis. He's the latest. But why? We continue to talk about this. And so for Kirby, right, he is taking quarterbacks that have been able to do the job. You've won chips with a kid you didn't even believe in. But they've not been dynamic and difference makers and guys that have the focus around the country that go, wow, we got to go see this kid play.
And again, it was 4 hours ago. I had to remember back, Carl. I misremembered. But you and I were off the air and I said, are we going to see Jaden Rashada start?
Correct.
You know, in the next 2 years at Athens. You know, because or is he going to transfer out? He is the ultimate dual threat. At the time he signed at Arizona State, number one dual threat quarterback. Remember, he had been courted by Florida.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Believe that lawsuit. I'm not sure what that is. It's still going on. Trying to figure out if he's going to ever make any money off that or whatever. But this guy, he's got the minerals. He's got the skills. Will we ever see a dynamic, real Heisman Trophy candidate? Which, you know, to a degree, Carson Beck was in that conversation before the season began. But it's just one of those things that Justin Fields, still don't know what the hell that was. But Fromm was solid, but Fields we thought would be different. He did go to Ohio State and sure looked like a rock star.
I think you still have to do what Georgia's done. They got to recruit. They do a great job recruiting interior defensive linemen, offensive linemen, and linebackers. These are the guys they're putting in the pros, right? It's corners. But that's like the one thing. And so when you see this today, which I did, and by the way, I retweeted it out there. It's great. The Colorado video is awesome. As Shedeur Sanders, who will be the first quarterback taken off the board, hands the keys to this young man, and it's just a cool kind of vibe that this video, and this is what schools do now, right? They put out these cool videos and say, hey, look how cool we are. You can be the next guy. Shedeur, like, drops the keys to him, and he's sitting in right. A big king's chair. And
it's
dope.
It is basically the quintessential 2024, you know, college football meme
but,
picture.
But you know what else it is? It's prime. It's totally Deion, right? He is the innovator of a lot of the things that have come after him. This whole swag thing, that's prime, man. Like that fits perfectly. And so I say all that to get back to the question of whether he's going to play or whether we're going to see him. Rashad, Mike, I don't know. Right now, I couldn't tell you if that kid's going to get an opportunity. Obviously, Kirby's going to say we're going to have a competition and, you know, that stuff's down the road. But as we look at Georgia and sustaining this greatness, because right now they are great. How do you sustain it? Well, you got to get those kind of difference-maker kids, man, and especially a quarterback.
Well, just feeling that, you know, you see the landscape. How did DJ Lagway wind up at Florida? And again, don't want to hear about the depth in the room, because the depth in the room, talk to Kevin Sumlin about the depth in the room at Texas A&M. I mean, yeah, you've had guys that
have went to zero.
Yeah, it goes from four to none, like that.
Yep.
You know, and anytime, and like, and by the way, anytime a coach can upgrade, he upgrades. Talk to Nick Saban. He invented the gray shirt. You're here? Nah, not really. So that's what I'm talking about. The stud, well, again, and it doesn't have to be blick. You can be white. It can be whatever.
But there is an element to that.
It is part of it. And look, I get it. They bring in Dylan Raiola. He goes to Buford. Whoop! He winds up in Nebraska. And he would have maybe been that guy.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know. He would have had a better supporting cast around him than Nebraska. And by the way, just as a footnote, I love that Deion is doing this. Because so many guys with their petty agenda, speaking about racism, you know, with that Deion stuff. Look at Brent Venables. Remember last year? I would never dismiss players the way he did. Yeah, well, you're about to get fired, Brent. Good luck with that. Mind your own house.
Hey, man, we had a great conversation with Greg Allman. He covers the NFL. What's he think about the Falcons and the Chargers coming out of the bye week? Wait until you hear what he says about them. It's all on the way on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Right now, let's talk NFL with Greg Allman, Fox Sports NFL reporter, guys. Covers the entire league. At one point, he was just covering the NFC South, so he knows all about our Falcons. And I want to start there, Greg. Thanks for joining us. Listen, the South still feels like it's the Falcons to win and that they're going to win it. But what you've seen as of late, the last 2 weeks specifically heading into the bye week, it gives you a reason for pause, doesn't it? What concerns you the most about the Falcons?
Yeah, I mean, just losing as convincingly as they did to the Broncos. Broncos are a good team, good defense for sure. But to lose as emphatically as they did, you know, it's not the way you want to go into a bye. It is still theirs to win. I think the Chargers, you know, coming out of the bye might be tougher than the Broncos. So what they've done is they've kind of given it's probably just the Bucs that they're dealing with, but they've probably given the Bucs a little bit of hope. The Bucs have to change the way they're playing. They've lost four in a row. They're playing some of the worst defense in the NFL. But they do have, you know, an easy seven games to finish the year. So it's kind of kept the door open. But Atlanta can take care of things just by winning the games they're supposed to win.
Greg, we've maybe been too high. We're too close to it. We get too high when we throw for 500 yards. We've shown the ability to run for almost 300. We thought we had a really good balance. But it just seems like with our defensive limitations, if this offense isn't scoring 4-plus touchdowns, we're just not going to win down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, it's one of those where, you know, they've had games where one half is clicking and not the other. Certainly, I mean, you think about the Broncos game. I think you can put an asterisk on the defense there just because the colossal amount of people – just out and not playing. And eventually that's going to catch up to you. But, you know, I don't think too many of them are long-term injuries where you get a week of rest. You know, a lot like the Bucks, you'll come out of the bye a healthier team, better for it. But no, I mean, they've got, you know, probably three tough opponents left out of the remaining schedule. And if they, you know, you go even 3-3, you know, I think they're in pretty good shape there. You just, you know, don't want to leave the door open. They got that tiebreak over the Bucks. So even though they're up one game in the standings, they're really up two.
Right.
But again, if, you know, if the Bucks kicked, I mean, the Bucks' next three are, Giants, Panthers, and Raiders, you know, where all teams that have benched their quarterbacks that are struggling to a bad record. So they've got three easy ones coming up. So if they take care of things, it puts a little bit more pressure on Atlanta, where they're in their rearview mirror at least. If they can play like they have against the Bucks, against other teams, it won't be an issue.
Bye week came in a good time, I think. Greg, let's talk about some other things going on around the league. I am looking at Daniel Jones deliver a statement today, basically saying goodbye. I appreciate the Giants and the organization. he's not crying, but right. He is issuing a statement. He knows his career is over there. So where are they going? Obviously, this was the injury deal where they don't want him to get injured so they don't have to pay him. But where are the Giants going now that they have benched Daniel Jones?
Yeah, I mean, right now it's Tommy DeVito. So, I mean, you know, it's one of those where a couple weeks, you know, had a couple weeks as a starter last year, you know, won a couple games. I don't know that he's going to change the trajectory of their season, but, you know, he try and get a spark. I feel bad for Drew Lock. I think Drew Lock went there thinking he'd get a chance if things didn't work out with Daniel Jones, but he's kind of also the odd man out there.
You know, it's funny, the Jets fire their general manager, which is basically just, you know, to make some headlines, and Woody Johnson's a putz, and, you know, you're not accomplishing anything other than embarrassing a guy. But what's up with Shane? Should Mara and the Giants reset at head coach and GM there?
Yeah, I don't know if Shane will get hit. I mean, I worry about Brian Daboll if things don't turn around. I think this, if anything, going with DeVito seems a little bit like, I'm not sure how many losses I can take. So I think if you know, I don't know that he's a guy that's at a risk of being fired in season, but if they're, you know, if they finished last in their division, I think they had expectations of being a little bit better. I think, you know, you look at, I think the Daniel Jones contract kind of put them in a bad place where they could have, you know, you look at what Bo Nix has done in Denver, they certainly could have taken Bo Nix at six. Malik Nabers is a great receiver, but they still need a quarterback. So they're, you know, I guess a franchise that has a lot of things to address. Sometimes you just want to reset with quarterback, but there are a lot of franchises now that you bring in a new quarterback, you want to have a new coach that's kind of brought in specifically for him, and everything's in lockstep that way. I don't know whether that would carry over to the GM or not.
By the way, just on the heels of that, so who's going to get the Chicago job once Eberflus presumably gets got?
Yeah, I mean, that should be, honestly, I mean, I know Chicago's disappointed, but I mean, that should be one of the more coveted jobs if it comes open. You know, I think they're in a tough division, but I think to have the talent, you have a young quarterback you can build around, and Caleb Williams, obviously some offensive talent between Moore and Odunze and some of the other people have there. You know, it seems like one of the more of the jobs that are likely to come open, seems like one of the ones that's probably the closest to being at least a playoff team. So no, I'm curious to see who they get. I would think they'll be one of the top of the tier. You know, if there's seven or eight openings, it should be one of the best two or three there in Chicago.
Look, I think Doug Peterson is also gone, but how much blame do you put on this quarterback? Because they paid Trevor Lawrence. This hits home for a lot of Georgia folks because he's from here, and we watched him, and then he went to college at Clemson, but he's not lived up to it. And so as Peterson is on the hot seat, I put as much blame on the quarterback. What about you?
Yeah, they're in that tricky limbo where there's no middle class for NFL quarterbacks. So it's kind of like if you have a guy – I mean, Trevor Lawrence at least has taken his team to the playoffs and won a playoff game. That's a lot more than some of these $45 million quarterbacks can boast. You know, Daniel Jones is one of them.
Sure.
So, no, I think you get to this awkward limbo with a quarterback where you have to pay to keep them because you know how hard it is to find one. You put a number one overall pick into a quarterback, you want to keep them. But, no, like you said, it's not like he's responded to that contract with – amazing football. There's a lot else that's wrong with the Jaguars, but no, I think Peterson's out there. I am surprised, as thoroughly as they got beaten by Detroit, I'm surprised I think the fact that they didn't make a move Monday suggests they're going to ride it out till the end of the season with him, at least.
Greg Allman is with us, guys, NFL insider for Fox, knows the division, knows the NFC as well. But real quick, just to double down on the Jags, we've seen articles saying that Shad Khan wants Belichick, and then some people say it's time finally for Jerry Jones to break the glass and bring Belichick. Where do you think Belichick, first off, do you think Belichick's coaching, if so, where next year?
Yeah, you know, I don't know how coveted Bill Belichick will be. I mean, he was available this past cycle, and Atlanta's the only team that talked to him. So I do think he's a guy that could have a job. But we just did an exercise where we laid out 10 candidates and where they might land. And I put him in Vegas, honestly. I think Vegas, if they move on from Antonio Pierce, will want to make a splash hire. He's got Brady there as a minority owner. That wouldn't surprise me. He's got histories with half the teams are going to have openings. If Cleveland fires somebody, if the Giants fire somebody, the places he's coached in the past, if he wants a reunion, I mean, he needs – it's going to take more than one season for him to get this wins record and catch up and get the most wins by a coach all time. So he's got to go somewhere where he can try and get that done, you know, in 2 years and not four, or it's going to be kind of a painful last act for him wherever he goes.
Greg, what do you think of the Chargers? They play the Ravens on Monday night, but then we get them out of the bye.
Yeah.
I want to know what you think about the job Harbaugh's done and how good you think they are.
Really impressed. Jesse Minter, as a defensive coordinator, as a first-year NFL coordinator, as the number one defense in the NFL, is doing it with some late-round rookies in key positions. I like what they've added in the run game. You know, I think Herbert, everyone worried with losing Keenan Allen, losing Mike Williams, and I think he's played really well and played at a high level. You know, McConkey's done well. Johnston's done well. This is a team that, you know, the AFC West, because you're in the shadow of the Chiefs, it's easy to get overlooked. But with them at 7-3, we were asking kind of which of the Harbaugh-led teams is the bigger threat in the playoffs right now. If Atlanta can go and win against this Chargers team, it will really solidify things for them. I don't think there's any shame in losing the way they're playing right now. The Chargers are, especially defensively. This is just, I mean, you think about if you're scoring 6 points against the Broncos, the Chargers are a much tougher defense. And even, I mean, you get a bye week, you get an extra week to prepare and get right. But that's a tough team. I mean, that's probably one of the toughest teams they have left on their schedule. Still the Vikings, I think still the Commanders maybe. But no, it's a tough team and looks very much like a playoff team and a dangerous wild card coming out of the AFC West.
It is a Greg Allman, guys, covering the NFL for Fox Sports here on Dukes and Bell. Yeah, I was just going to ask you about, you know, we even if we screw things up 7 ways to Sunday, 9 wins, we still probably win the division. And it could be the Commanders and it could be the Vikings, who we're both going to see. Do you buy the Vikings with Sam Darnold to make noise in the postseason?
I don't know about that. That's a good question in terms of how sustained their success can be. Because, I mean, Darnold came out of the gates and maybe the first month of the season looked like an absolute steal. And it's been a little more uneven since then, I guess. I think Brian Flores has done a great job with that defense there. I think of them as still a dangerous. I mean, the NFC is a little bit more, you know, you don't have a – you look at the AFC, and it seems like there's such a top tier right now with Kansas City, with Buffalo. You know, I think the NFC side of things, Philly has come on for sure and has played well. Detroit's probably the team to beat. But Minnesota would be in that second tier. I mean, a team that should be you know, they're going to have Detroit stumble for them to be a division champ. So they're probably just a really good fifth seed. You know, I think they'll probably be favored on the road wherever they go against the worst division champ in the NFC. And then by then they're in the division round and it'll be a kind of a toss up from there. I think they're still a dangerous team. I don't know if they're like a conference championship team, but I think they're a get to the second weekend and scare somebody their team.
We always appreciate you jumping on with us and the insight, and you guys can follow him. He's covering the entire NFL now. Of course, he did for many years just cover the NFC South. Fox Sports NFL reporter, Greg Allman. Thanks so much, Greg.
Oh, you guys take care. Have a good one.
We were just talking, you know, about what Greg said there about Belichick saying, look, if he didn't get the call last year, you know, he's not going to get the call 2 years out, right?
No.
But it is interesting. And remember the story that came out? Was it the Boston Globe or the Herald that had that story in the spring that he was really ticked off at Bob Kraft, that he felt that Bob Kraft poisoned the well with Arthur Blank and that Belichick was kind of like just locked in with the Falcons. And if there were other opportunities, it kind of went sideways because he thought he was going to get this gig.
I just think, okay, we already know there are a few jobs open, right? And we keep trying to talk about the fit. It's still about that. I mean, it's not just all these owners going, hey, Belichick, it's your job. You still have a fit. And by the way, Mike, a lot of these jobs, like the Jets job, now you're talking about hiring a general manager. So who's going to have the ultimate power there? Is it going to be Belichick if he was to get that job? And Jets are probably out of the question. Or the general manager. But there are a lot of situations that are going to play out like that. Hey, when we come back, big recruiting news in college football. The irony is Mike and I have been talking about quarterbacks in Georgia and recruiting guys. Well, the number one overall recruit in this class of 2025 just changed his mind. Find out where he's going next. It is Dukes and Bell. Hey, we were talking about recruiting, and there are a couple of things that have gone on today that we want to pass along because it is big college football news. I think it affects the SEC as much as it affects the Big Ten. The number one overall recruit in the class of 2025, his name's Bryce Underwood. He's flipping his commitment to the Michigan Wolverines. Guys, he had been committed to LSU forever.
I'm here with my family.
Yeah. And Brian Kelly, Mike, this was the game changer, right? This was the difference maker. And Big O, I want to bring you into this because we were talking about these NIL evaluations. Guys, it doesn't mean that they get this money. What it means is the number that's put on some of these recruits is the range, okay, that they could potentially receive in NIL, name, image, and likeness. And you said to me and Mike, what is his NIL evaluation according to our buddy Rusty Manziel?
Yeah, so On3 has it listed at somewhere above $5
million. $5 million?
Yeah, $5 million for 3 or 4 years. Excuse me. So that's just over $1 million a year for that right there, yes.
Wow.
There was a report that came out a week ago when Michigan was rumored to get back in the mix with this kid that they were prepared to offer him somewhere north of $10 million to sign with Michigan.
Wow.
Yeah.
In case you're wondering, as far as development and playing like with the best players, obviously the LSU gets some of the best wide receivers, you know, regardless of this.
They do.
Drawback for Ryan Kelly's recruiting efforts. Joe Sloan is the OC that they brought in from Louisiana Tech a couple years ago. Kirk Campbell is the OC that was with Michigan as quarterbacks coach under Jim Harbaugh last year, in case you're wondering. But, man, I mean, you look at Michigan and you say, okay.
These guys did it, man.
It still makes me laugh, dude.
That's the coach when Harbaugh got suspended for Spygate after they beat Penn State.
Coach Harbaugh.
I love you, man. Yes, we know.
But they gave him the keys, and not exactly a great job, but because, again, Sherrod Moore lost a lot of talent to the NFL.
Yeah.
But that's a hell of a recruiting coup to get that dude to play in the maize and blue.
So that is big news. And here's how, obviously, the Brian Kelly thing. You lose three in a row. You put your team in a predicament where, Mike, I got to say this. They had the A&M game. They blew it.
Yes.
They had the A&M game. Then you go to Florida, and you're fussing at your players.
Right.
This is just not a good look for him.
No, you're telling, you know, yelling at, screaming at one of your best recruits, you're blanking uncoachable. All the lip readers caught that one. Look, for those who don't remember, or maybe you didn't care, as it went south at Notre Dame, these sort of, you know, cracks in the facade started to develop for Coach Kelly.
Yep.
And there's more pressure, and it's, as he said it, man, like, I'm not just making excuses, but, man, the pressure in the games, because every any given Saturday, to paraphrase the NFL maxim, you can lose. So, yeah, I wonder how many LSU fans are going, we're doing what? All those people that are kicking in all that loot are going to say, what? Now, again, he's rich and never has to work again. But it is interesting because this is what nearly, you know, Napier was on, let's be honest, he was on kind of like dead man walking watch, and then he lands DJ Lagway, and then he finally gets him on the field, and Florida fans are like, okay, we're good. We're good. Because if Napier leaves, Lagway transfers.
Wow.
You know, and amongst other things, the team started playing well.
Yeah.
And they pulled off the big upset against LSU. Georgia fans, you really need Florida to beat Ole Miss this week at the Swamp.
Big time.
Other dominoes have to fall, but if you really are concerned with playing in the SEC championship, I don't think it matters personally. But
yeah, so that is going down, and again, it has nothing to do with Georgia directly. But when you start talking about these number one overall recruits going from one SEC team to the Big Ten, that's a big thing. And by the way, when we started this whole playoff thing, what were we saying? Georgia, Alabama, LSU more likely were going to be the three teams based on what we knew, right? Because Florida was still coming. South Carolina's not there yet, even though Shane Beamer's done a hell of a job. We didn't know what Texas and Oklahoma are going to be coming into the conference. Like, we kept thinking, all right, LSU, Brian Kelly, he showed last year. They were in the SEC championship game.
Right.
And so you're like, okay, those are the three teams, even with Saban leaving. And for LSU to not have a chance to be in the college football playoff, Mike, I didn't expect us to be talking about Ole Miss.
Right?
That's the team. Like, Tennessee, we know they've been coming. But, like, that's – usually you're going to get four teams in based on what we know now. And right now, who are the strongest programs in the SEC? Are you willing to say it's LSU with what you've seen with the coaching situation this year?
Not this year.
No.
And they don't play defense. Their defense has taken a major step back. But don't forget, guys, when we get into NIL and, you know, what does it mean? Ole Miss, that article you and I were talking about a few weeks ago about how the boosters put the record amount of money into their NIL, into their collective, and that got them those players that beat Georgia in the trenches a few weeks ago out in Oxford. So that it does translate, obviously. Speaking of big names, we talked about this earlier, and this was a conversation I had saying, yes, okay, you got four deep in the quarterback room. Who cares? Why isn't Georgia in on Julian Lewis? Juju Lewis from Carrollton, five-star quarterback, going to play for Dion in Colorado. And why wasn't Georgia, other than an unofficial visit, not getting in the mix on this? And if you bring him in, somebody in your room transfers out. It happens all the time. If you can, Carl, don't you agree if Kirby can upgrade on a quarterback,
always,
he upgrades any position?
Well, let me tell you this. And you talk about quarterback, they upgraded every position. If you get what you think is a more talented player at tackle, hate to be the bearer of bad news for anybody being recruited, corner, linebacker, Mike, they're bringing them in. Like, this is where the game has always been. And so now it's even more critical because the NIL evaluations. So if I can bring a guy in that I think is going to help us sooner and be better overall, you absolutely right. You damn right they're going to do it. And they should do it at the quarterback. No position is sacred. Here's the deal. This is why you create such a competitive atmosphere with your program. No position. You don't roll in every year and go, he's our starter. Right. You got to earn it.
Right. And you got to recruit the guys you've already got under contract, as it were, as semi-pros. Hey, man, big game for Georgia Tech. Speaking of NIL, they got an infusion of cash from the boosters.
You taking them?
I think they win. I don't think they cover the 9. I could see this being a really strange game.
Yeah.
And the number that, you know, Brent's got to win after a win. He can't lose after a big win. You can't take a step backwards. As we said, no disrespect to playing at Fenway Park or Yankee Stadium, but I prefer to be south of the Mason-Dixon line when it comes to my bowl game. And if you want to get to 7, you know, I'm not sure you can beat Georgia, but you'll give them a fight. But get to 7 wins, that gets you into a different tier for the ACC bowl affiliations.
All right, John Fricke's got the night show. We are going to give him the opportunity to take things over here at 7 o'clock tomorrow. By the way, quick reminder, we're going to be at Twin Peaks Buckhead.
Yeah, man.
Tomorrow, and the show is over at 6. So come through early, man. We want to get a chance to see you and hang out. And I do want to say this. Monday, all shows are going to be at Eagle Watch Golf Club for the Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic. Now, if you've not signed up, too late, all right? For those of you who have signed up and are going to participate, thank you. It's going to be a fun day, but all of our shows will be out there on Monday.
Online silent auction, right?
It is, yes.
Right. And all goes to help vets.
It's going to be great. They do a great job out there, and I'm familiar with that club, but more importantly, the people out there, and it's going to be a good time. And big shout-out to Bo and Mike Conti and everybody. But that's happening Monday. So I say that to say, hey, that's where we're going to be, and all the shows will be out there. And then Wednesday, we're back up at Flowery Branch next week as we're talking about the Chargers and getting ready for the Chargers. And then, obviously, we get the break for Thanksgiving. So it's going to be a short week, but a busy, busy week. All right, we got to get out of here, Big O. Let's clear our throat. Oh! Hey, thanks to our guest today, Greg Allman, joined us, Mike. The lovely and talented Barbara Dooley. Is she great?
Man, rewind, if you can, on the Odyssey app or 92.9 The Game. You can listen to Barbara's takes on what happened in the College Football Playoff Committee. It's priceless.
It is. And also, as we said, Garth Lagerwey. Really good stuff from Garth. I think he was honest and forthcoming, saying, look, we're looking at a lot of candidates, and some of those guys have more experience than Rob. But Rob is doing a really good job. I just feel like Mike, with what he's already done, he deserves the job.
Pay that man his money.
Great point. But if he wins it, if Atlanta United wins the MLS Cup, then how can you deny him?
I mean, it's just where they are now. Some would say you got to give him
the gig. I agree. I think you should. Right. All right, Big O, great job. Tomorrow, Twin Peaks Buckhead. Come join us, man. Chris, great job. We got to talk about Chris and what he did today.
Yeah, man.
We got to talk about Chris.
Krishna, Hare Krishna.
We got to talk about what Chris did something today that we didn't even pay attention to. We will tell you about it tomorrow, all right? Stay tune for that. Mike Bell, man, let's get out of here. Clear your throat.
I'm going to give you 2-for-1, Joe. Start with Joel Embiid. Word out of Philadelphia is he's going to find the snitch leaking information to the media at a closed-door team meeting.
Uh-oh.
Embiid is going to find that liar and rip his tongue out from the root, to paraphrase Elvis Presley in his Fat and Stone days. And then finally, it's going to come to fruition, Carl. This year, spring training, MLB is breaking out robot umpires at 13 ballparks.
Here they go.
It could lead to regular season use. Hey, let's go balls and strikes. You get a fat guy, you pay him $20 and all the hot dogs you can eat. You put an earpiece in his head. He can go, Steve Reich, or ball. And the computers and the robots do the rest. About freaking time.
Hey, Aaron Judge is going to be an MVP again. All right. That's nice.
But he didn't do anything in the postseason.
Nice error. Judge wins his second MVP. Unanimous vote. Rightfully so. But you know what? Legacies are built in the playoffs. Let's just keep it real. Hey, if you love the show,
tell your friends.
If you don't.
You just got your head shaved for $40.